This one is for my readers. Are you tired of endlessly searching for your next great read? Well, let me tell you about Book of the Month, where the thrill of discovery meets the joy of reading. Sounds fun, right? Okay, so what I adore about the Book of the Month is their meticulous curation process. With just a handful of carefully chosen titles each month, they've mastered the art of making your next read an easy decision. If you're tired of making decisions, let's make it easy. And let's not forget about the fun factor. Every aspect of their service is designed to celebrate the love of reading and make it even more enjoyable for members like us, down to the cute blue box the books are delivered in. Now let me tell you about the April pick. I've tapped into The Husband's a Novel by Holly Gramazio. And let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting read. It gets into the complexities of marriage and identity, and it's set against a backdrop of mystery and suspense. It has a pretty intriguing plot twist, and there's some character development that's pretty good too. So I think you might enjoy it. Pick it up if it interests you. And if you're ready to embark on your next literary journey, head over to bookofthemonth.com. And guess what? They're offering our listeners a special deal. You can use code PASTEL at checkout to get your first book for just $5 this month only. That's code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com to get your first book for $5 with free shipping always. Come on, my readers. Don't miss out on the chance to discover your next favorite read with Book of the Month. Happy reading. Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right. No fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your Spot Me limit by receiving Boost from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, if we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our goal is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey y'all, welcome back up in this bia.
Welcome back, jingle babes.
Jingle babe. Yes, it is Christmas Eve, and we hope you all are gearing up to have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Are you excited about Christmas? It's whatever.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, it's become one of a, you know, the part that I like about Christmas is the fellowshipping.
Yeah, the communing.
Every year for Christmas, I go to my best friend's grandmother's home. She makes amazing food. You know, mm-hmm. I watch them open their gifts. And I have a good time.
Good. We usually keep it really, really low key. Christmas is probably my least favorite. Not least favorite like that, but if I had to rank them, it's third on the
list. Okay, what's your first?
Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Then there's New Year's Eve. Then there's Christmas out of the majors.
Okay, well, we're gearing up on one of your favorites.
It's not my least favorite. I love the holiday season, the spirit, the cheer, but it's not like, it's Christmas.
Yeah, I'm not that gal either.
I'm totally that type of person for Thanksgiving, and I think it's because my sister's birthday is usually around Thanksgiving, and okay. We always, like, you know.
You're in the mood, in the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, in the spirit.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, I'd always love that shit.
Yeah, I like New Year's Eve, too, and I like it even more when I have plans.
And this year, we have plans.
This year, we have plans. We have bad bitch dresses.
Yes.
We have hair appointments made.
Yeah, I need to make mine.
If this is any indicator of how 2020 is going to be, baby, bring it the fuck on.
Oh, wow.
Period.
And that's on period.
So,
how was your weekend?
My weekend was chill. This was a chill weekend. Didn't really do much. This weekend, I don't think I did anything.
It was pretty low key.
Sorry to that weekend.
Friday, we went to the Eric Bellinger
concert. Oh, yeah. Friday, we went to the Eric Bellinger concert. Love Eric Bellinger. Just wasn't really a fan of
the performance aspect.
How the concert went down. But you know what? That's that. That was that on that.
You can figure out more of our perspective and opinion over on Patreon.
Yeah, we recorded a video. It's funny. So yeah, that was Friday. Saturday, super chill.
Yeah, it was very, very relaxing.
Sunday. And I needed that.
Yeah.
I needed that.
Yeah, same.
I'm usually a busybody, but I needed that.
Yeah, we've been going.
And then Sunday,
We worked.
Sunday is really our work day. Like, if it's a Sunday, we're getting some work done. Mm-hmm. So we got some work done. And then, yeah, today was my last day of work for 2019, baby.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm off for 9 days from my white man gig. So
I'm not.
She's excited.
She was excited.
I'm going to paint my room.
Okay.
I'm going to go to Home Depot, get an additional keymate.
Yeah, you need to do that.
And I'm going to pick out some paint. And then I'm going to paint my room. Create a sanctuary. That's one thing I want to do for 2020. Create a sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, your weekend, cool?
It was basically the same. Very relaxing. Nothing to do. But next weekend, we're turning it up. We're turning it out.
Oh, next weekend, we're back.
Stop.
Babe's back in motion.
Yeah.
What did you say? Wild bitches.
Wild bitches on the...
Wild bitches will be back on the move next
weekend.
Wild
bitches on the move.
Tune in to our Instagram stories.
Yeah, I said wild bitches on the move.
Yeah, my stories were dead this weekend.
Mine too. Every time that I don't got shit going, I'm like, story's dead.
She's in the house.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't have anything to share.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people who just shares just like my day to day.
Yeah, I usually share probably something funny or something, you know.
Inspirational.
Whatever. Yeah, inspirational, something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
So this is a part of our show where we dish a little tea about things happening in pop culture.
Uh-huh.
Things happening in the news.
So it's good.
This week was full of babies.
Babies.
Let's start off with this baby. The baby.
The baby.
So some needs. Needs.
My needs.
My needs. some nudes leaked. Mm-hmm. And it was like a video recording. Sounded like the baby. Didn't look like a baby.
No.
But a little dick pic. Dick vid. And somebody said he needs to change his name from the baby to the man. And I agree.
The stallion. He's a real stallion. The horse.
The baby, the stallion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever that was.
I don't know. That's probably him.
Whoever that was, they needed to have Summer Walker.
Hello to that man.
They needed to have Summer Walker played in the background.
What is that?
I'm going to stretch you out.
Dead.
They need to stretch you out. That could stretch someone out. So whoever's getting stretched out by that.
Dead at the
stretch
out.
God bless you. But he said he don't send nudes. But the man sounded just like.
He didn't have to send no nudes. That wasn't a send. That was a take. So maybe he don't send nudes. But that looked like he took it up himself.
A man came forward and said it was him.
Oh, really?
I didn't see the picture of him. But I saw someone say. well, party's over. The man who's claiming it's him is not cute and he's not rich. So I'm like, well, DaBaby's not cute either.
Did you see where Drea? Yeah, he's not.
But Drea, his voice is.
Oh, okay. You like a little country thing, don't you? Little country, little Geechee talk. Listen, did you see when Drea tweeted, yes, hey, ladies, send me over that pic, and y'all know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then they were like, Orlando.
Orlando going to be like,
hey. The Kawhi. Hey.
The Kawhi laugh.
That shit was funny. And then yeah. Drea deleted it like, I don't
it
know.
It went too far.
About. Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit is funny.
Let me put that on it. My manifestation list.
What? The big dick?
The man dick.
Demanding though.
I will be demanding. Demand. No. So anyway, and more baby news.
Yeah.
There was some making it more PG. Meek Mill is having a baby, supposedly.
Allegedly, I'm like, you're just convinced.
Allegedly. His supposed bae, Milano.
Milano Rouge.
Her clothing line is Milano Rouge.
Okay.
Announced at her fashion show, her annual fashion show that she was expecting. And she's been linked to Meek Mill for some time now. So they're thinking it's his baby. He hasn't said anything. She's saying that she will share what she wants to share when she wants to share it. She's not a celebrity, and she would really appreciate if the gossip blogs will stop. She's just a regular woman making money. And I said, heard
you. Kudos.
Yeah.
So maybe it ain't his baby. Maybe they friends and she with her.
Or maybe it is and she doesn't feel like, maybe. I gotta tell y'all who the baby is. It's not a baby daddy announcement. It's a baby announcement. You know, that's been the new thing. People have been saying there was child, but the father has been hidden. Because, no, because Malika, I'm like, is OT Genesis?
Oh, yeah.
Is he the father?
I think so, but maybe they just ain't saying it.
Because you know they had a couple
little
bouts
on and
of,
off. Yeah.
So I'm like, is OT the father?
We don't know. Who else did that?
You know that's what people do. Some of the regular street motherfuckers do it too. You'd be like, who your baby daddy? Who said that?
Yeah.
That would probably be me. If I popped up pregnant, people would be like, now announce the father. Who's your baby's father?
Every time every time we start talking about babies, I think about when you and Kayla would tell me, I did what's best for my family.
Oh, yeah, we were at our Christmas party and we were talking about like
announcements,
reactions and announcements to people being pregnant. And then I said, Germany will be the type of motherfucker that'll pop up pregnant. Like, you know, I decided to do what's best for my family with a boomerang, with one leg out, holding the belly, whatever.
Something deep.
She was tickled.
Something deep. I be playing that over in my mind occasionally. I'm like,
you really gonna do that?
No, I'm not. I probably the type of person that won't post nothing and just show up with the baby.
Oh shit. Yeah. I really don't know what I would do.
Like, just show up at the shower. Like, I wouldn't probably post nothing from the stomach up. I'm just
so you'll
like,
do the secret. The hidden.
It depends. Not
that I wasn't hiding my baby from the world. I was hiding the world from my baby.
It depends, but I don't know. Maybe I would probably wait until like 7-8 months and be like, da da.
I think it would depend on the situation with me, to be quite honest.
I mean, I'm feminine, loving. I still like the element of surprise.
Okay, you like the element of surprise. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would do. It would probably, even if I was in a loving or unloving, I would be in a loving.
The fuck.
But
if I'm not in a loving, the child will not be coming for
it. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the status of the relationship. Sometimes it has more to do with like the mother processing.
Yes,
like, you know, and
yes.
I have to wrap my mind around the fact that I'm bringing forth the child.
Sit in that.
And then once I process that, then I can let the world know that, hey,
this
I'm
is
having
a joyous
a child.
Moment.
Yeah. So
I would also have to consider the father of my child if he's private, if he wants to disclose.
That's important too.
Because if he's like, damn, I really ain't really
right,
want everybody
right.
to.
Yeah, it no longer becomes just your decision, which is another hurdle.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I'm not there yet. We'll see. But that was funny.
That shit was, that tickles me. I did what's best for my family.
Oh, we saw some other babies, some cute little babies of a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, in D.C.
Hale Zell. Treated his kindergarten babies to a self-care day.
Yes.
He got their hair done. The baby girls had braids. They got their nails done.
The baby boys' haircuts.
Haircut.
He accompanied them with brushes to get their waves right.
Grooming kits.
I love that. And he was saying that when you look good, you feel good. And when you and feel good,
he's right.
You do good. And he wanted his students to feel good this holiday season.
That's how I felt when I had to send that first dress back. First New Year's Eve dress.
Your energy changed last night when that dress hit your body.
No, it wasn't just the dress. It was the whole, I was thinking about we didn't prepare for our episode.
And now here we are today. Hush. Here. Anyway, I could always tell when your energy gets to shift.
Well, yeah, my energy was shook because I had thought I had a look, and then my dress was not a look. It looked like I was going to a funeral, and that's not what I wanted to serve.
Or the business casual. You look like a lawyer. Olivia Pope.
I looked a fool.
You were looking Olivia Pope.
I looked a
Olivia
fool,
Pope.
And it wasn't flattering on my body.
And that's the thing. We got to always go with what's flattering
on
our bodies.
You have to go with flattering on your body, and I'm realizing that because sometimes I'll just try to, like, force something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I know that with my body, I need another look.
Yeah.
So I got something a little bit more fitting, and hopefully this hits. We'll see. Y'all see. Y'all will see.
It'll hit. I'm convinced it'll hit. Claiming a hit.
So, yeah, that was our tea this week, baby.
Yeah.
Babies on babies on babies.
Woo!
What's that song?
I'm going baby on baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She look how she walk. Look how she talks.
She's sexy.
There it is. So you know what? We're about to go on a guilt trip. I'm going guilt trip on guilt trip.
Yeah.
Listen, girls, we are 1 week out from the new year.
Yes.
And as you know, we have a goal to reach here with these ratings and reviews. It is very, very, very important and extremely imperative.
It's imperative at
that
this point.
If you enjoy this show, if you like what you hear, if you find it valuable to you, that not only you share it, but you have to rate, subscribe, and review.
Mando.
Listen, buckle up.
It's serious now.
This is your call to action.
This is a serious matter.
There it is.
This is really a serious matter. If we don't make this goal,
then we're saying goodbye. You don't show up for us, we don't show up for you.
For real.
Fair exchange, no robbery.
There have been people coming back home, girl. Brenda, Tay Raquel, Vegan Bay 1908.
Skiwi. Tons.
Our ladies.
Tons more sores.
And tons more sores. Our pocket full of ladies have come back 2, 3, 4 times. And I just wanted to let you all know, again, if you have been listening to this podcast and you haven't taken 1 second to at least rate.
The rate is bare minimum, okay? The rate is, the rate is just mascara.
Don't live here anymore.
Okay.
If you don't submit it.
Yeah. Then we're saying goodbye. Good night.
So, yeah, let's read our review of the week. This one comes from Love Jasmine. She says, love it. I just discovered this podcast yesterday. But let me tell you, I'm already in love with it.
Pause. She started yesterday and already leaving a review today.
And there's people who we've
been doing this show almost 3 years.
We've been doing it 3 years on the 16th. We didn't celebrate our podiversary, but on December 16th, we've been doing this podcast for 3 years. So if you are one of our beginner bays, one of our grassroots listeners, and you have not taken the time, hey, now
shame on you.
Let's get back to it. I tried listening to other podcasts before, but they didn't seem as genuine. So I took a break from them overall. I feel like I can actually take something away from y'all's podcast. You ladies have the calmest voices.
Thank you. Underrated
comment. Y'all are funny and overall just a complete vibe. I can't wait to listen to all the others.
Thank you for leaving that.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Yeah.
Love, Jasmine. Once I read that she said we have calm voices, I said, oh, that's a subtle flex.
Dead. Not that we need to flex.
No, but... Thank you, baby girl.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone else who left a review this week. Again, we have 25 that we're trying.
Oh, my God, y'all. If y'all don't show up for this, I'm going to know y'all never loved me. I'm going to know it was never real.
Yeah.
That's going to prove that you was a joke all along.
The fake love.
Wow. Cue the Drake. Okay, so last week's episode because we
No, wait. Patreon.
My bad. Okay, Patreon.
We didn't have any patrons this week.
And sometimes it happens like that.
We understand, you know,
Christmas.
Gifts have to be purchased, and that's fine. But we did drop a little bonus snippet of our December check-in. We spilled a lot of tea on there.
Yeah.
Go on over to Patreon, support the homegirls. That helps keep this podcast going and also helps us go on tour. So, yay!
Perfect. Also, feel free to join the secret Facebook group. Tons of girls are connecting in there, thriving, sharing advice.
Meetups are forming.
Friendships are blooming.
Guys, be consistent once you find out who's in your city because I see the call. For who's in the city.
Yeah, then it's like,
what
happens?
The baby girls don't want to initiate plans. So someone has to be the initiator.
We're doing a roll call tomorrow.
Okay.
A roll call. Who has set a meetup? Whatever. We'll figure it out. So join us over there at the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
We need some ambassadors for the different cities.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Message us if you want to be an ambassador for your city. Ohio already got some girls. We need to know what the fuck going on with Ohio.
Baby girl Destiny, I think, is spearheading that.
Okay. Hey, Destiny. Tell people what you're doing over there.
Yeah.
So last week's episode was 124. So an affirmation that we share was, I trust the universe. I am worthy of receiving all that I desire because I attract what I am, not what I want. So part two of our series, Getting Clear for the New Year, is all about mastering manifestation. A manifestation is a public display of emotion or feeling or something theoretical made real. In that episode, we discussed the seven steps it takes to call in all that you are a vibrational match to. We also explain the unexpected signs the universe will surely send you when your manifestation is on the horizon. So that was a good episode.
People were feeling that.
They
Clarity
were.
Clarity was given.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people feel like they are equipped to master manifestation and get their 2020 going.
I'm feeling more and more equipped.
I am too.
Every time we do this show, I feel like I'm having therapy.
I know.
I'm like, wow, like going over the content for today, I'm like, okay, things that you need to work on too, because we shared this in the beginning and I think it's great to serve a reminder every so often that this is just a platform that we use to chat. We're providing content that we believe is valuable, that we're gaining knowledge and insight from while we're sharing it with you all.
Yeah.
So we're not coming from a place of like know-it-all.
Or experts.
Been through it all. We're far, far from expert.
We're going just through.
Sharing things that we're learning from and learning and hoping that you can also benefit from it.
Period, poo.
So don't think they telling me what the fuck. Actually, no, I'm telling myself what the fuck.
And letting you listen in.
Period. And that's on period.
So we are, we're now in part three of our series, Getting Clear for the New Year.
Woo!
The new year is right on our tails.
Are y'all loving this? Are y'all loving the series vibe?
I like the vibe.
I like it too. I feel like it's cohesive.
Yeah, I feel like it's cohesive. It helps us like center on certain things we need to be talking about. I'm loving it.
I'm loving it too.
So I hope y'all you guys are loving it too. Also, let us know that down in the review. You can say that. I'm loving the series.
But if you aren't, I don't give a fuck. Just like tell us in the DMs. Period. We're keeping it positive.
Take the constructive criticism to DM.
Yeah.
Praise on review.
Exactly. And you know what else? We don't give too much negative tea here. That's what I don't understand. When people have their negative bullshit, I'm like, hey, we didn't give that to you.
Yeah.
We don't give out negativity. We
but
only
you know what?
Emit
we
positivity.
Don't get a lot either. So
we
that's
don't.
Why.
It's rare. And I'm glad. Keep it that way.
Yeah. A few people slip through the cracks, but God.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're in part three of our series.
Getting clear for the new year.
And today we are going to be talking about the ego. What our egos teach us.
Come on, Freud.
Man. So, you know, this is one that hits home. The self-read. This will be a self-reading episode.
Yeah,
for sure. Because a part of getting clear for the new year is evaluating the current year and figuring out what doesn't work and what you don't need to be doing in 2020.
Yeah.
That's what I read a tweet that said, 2019 taught me what the fuck I won't be doing in 2020. And yeah. I said, heard you.
Yeah.
We cannot keep on with the same programming, with the same habits, the same patterns if
That's
we expect to thrive.
That's the definition of crazy.
It is. And we're all like, 2020 is going to be our year.
But you're not even, because I didn't put any like foundational steps in place for 2020. For 2019.
I feel like 2019 was a lazy year for me, and we can talk about that more in detail next week.
Yeah, next week.
But yeah, for sure.
This year we're intentional. We're wrapping this
year
up.
We're intentional.
Period. With some intentionality.
We have to.
We're about to grab it by the dick. Ooh. Not even the balls, baby. I got the whole dick in my hand. I got the whole dick in my hands. Which, cause that's kind of sick, because we just totally spun that. But I do. I have the whole dick in my hands, okay? Come on, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Dead at doing that, Brittany.
No,
I was sick.
No, I really. But no, seriously. So we realize that if we really want to thrive and we want to do something different and we want more and we want to call in the things that we desire, that we have to get down to the core and really flip some shit.
Yeah.
And after we were doing our research and reading about the ego, the holistic psychologist, a lot of great useful information, some which we'll be sharing here.
Actualize.org is a really great resource.
Yeah, YouTube videos.
That we got a lot of tea from. So, again, we're just sharing. We're just the vessel.
We're just sharing.
That's it.
This information. So, what is the ego? It's bigger than he got a big ego.
Oh, yes. None of that.
Remember that song?
Yes.
Such a huge ego. We were all walking around like, he got a big ego.
It's too big.
So anyways, it's the
too
ego.
Too wide.
So the ego is the I. It's how you see yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's your you-ness.
It's how you see yourself, your self-image. So the way you see yourself, Germany, and the way that I see me, that is our ego. Mm-hmm. Which when I first read that, I'm like, I started immediately thinking like, how do I see myself?
Same. Because your ego is like the you that you are distinct from everything else that's in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Like you, the way you love things is way different than the way you see yourself or even the way you experience. I know I love Brittany, but I love Brittany different than I love myself.
Exactly.
Which has
because
to do with my ego.
Because you see yourself differently than you see me.
Exactly. There's distinction there.
So the ego kind of creates an illusion that our opinions, habits, and beliefs make up who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Once you look at that, you're like, once I read that part, I was like, ooh, should I be seeing myself that way? Because I know that I can have some like contradicting or maybe some thoughts and beliefs or opinions that could use a little adjusting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's what the ego is.
Yeah. And also, the ego is a part of us that's always subconscious and it always wants to be in control. I said self, just so y'all know, because I feel like I said subconscious. The Daffy Duck. It's self-conscious and it always wants to be in control. So it comes from a place within us that's totally absorbed. It's all about our safety, our reputation, our personal interests. It's really our survival skills. That's where this whole ego thing comes from. Like, I, me, me, me.
Because we're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
That's because we separate ourselves mm-hmm. from everything in the outside world. And I feel like, well, that's what it is. Our ego protects us from that because we separate ourselves. We're like, this is me. I, me, 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 me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the ego was formed. But the ego can be both subconscious and conscious. The subconscious part of the ego is like some of the programming and the way you were raised and some of the things, your experiences and some of the things that might not be like quite at the forefront
mm-hmm.
or in your present awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But then your consciousness is knowing that this is how I see myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I identify. Right. So you know what the fuck's going on.
Right. But do you know what
what the fuck is going on?
Our ego is really built to create like an illusion. It's very fictitious. The idea, the way I see myself is really probably like not even the way. Who knows who sees me? It's what I've built up to help me survive in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And our ego is very self-preservation based. It's all about like protecting you. Like you said, especially when we're trying to get to a new level or advance our consciousness and have this higher level of thinking. Our ego is what pulls us back and says, no, bitch, you're not going there.
Yeah.
You're not going there. You're staying back here. Right?
I don't like that.
I know, because our ego isn't always ready to go into the world and look at it for what it is, not what we've created it to be.
It's looking at it. Yeah, we don't look at the world for what it is. We look at the world as what we are.
Mm-hmm. Attracting what we
jaded.
Are. What we want.
Which is,
I mean, what we are.
Which is jaded.
It is.
So where does the ego come from? That was my first question. I'm like, okay, so how do we fix it? Mind you, I have set an intention to go do some therapy.
Yeah, same.
For 2020, because I know that I can't figure this out, all of this out by myself. But this is a start, you know?
Yeah, this is a start.
Generating some self-awareness and just realizing that, bitch, you don't have it all together. There's some things, some areas of opportunity, room for improvement.
So I have a question really quickly. Have you had a moment where you felt like your ego protected you? Or like you wanted it to protect you?
Yes, but probably like false protection.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Do tell, if you don't mind.
I feel like it protected my feelings.
Okay.
And I guess my self-worth, because your ego is how you see yourself. So I can give a situation, an example. I was in a relationship. I was going to say a situation. I was in a relationship before, and then I decided, like, you know what? I no longer want to be in this relationship. I made the conscious decision. This isn't working for me. I no longer want to be in this relationship. We're done.
Yeah, done here.
We're done here.
We're done here.
So time went on. You know, the relationship's over. And then because of the world we live in now, the age we're in, the digital age, the social media age, you can still see what the fuck is going on with people that you no longer decide to entertain unless you do a complete block delete, which is still kind of hard. You know, you have mutual friends, people talk, whatever.
And curiosity killed the cat.
Cat was killed.
Yeah. Dead kitty, dead pussy.
By the baby, by the man. So I saw the person that I decided that I no longer wanted to be involved with, involved with someone else. And my ego caused me to be like, hold on.
Wait, hold up.
My ego caused me to be like, wait, hold up. Like, what the fuck is going on? Not because I necessarily like had an epiphany where, oh my God.
Right. You know, I love you so much.
I need to be in this. I feel like I know that I was really operating from ego. I am feeling some kind of way because somebody has what I considered mine or that I considered that I thought I had control over. And now to protect myself or to make me feel good or to affirm me, to make me feel validated, I need to go back inside of that situation.
And prove that I could take it back if I wanted it.
Yeah. That was my ego.
That
wasn't my conscious like awareness of you made a decision to no longer be in that situation for whatever reason. And you felt validated and affirmed and strong in that decision. You know what I'm saying? The only reason why you decided to revisit.
Come on.
Is because of your ego. And you see how quick that can happen? How quick our ego can cause us to really flip and tumble some shit? And I was flipped and she was tumbled.
But she's been restored.
How about you? Do you feel like you've had a situation where your ego caused you to... Where you can identify your ego had a part to do with your decision making and your behaviors. Or how you felt, how you protected yourself. Your ego, you used your ego to protect yourself.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm all like, no, no. So I am learning that I have this thing. I hate when I feel like I can't express myself.
It's okay. You're being vulnerable with our listeners. We've already had this conversation, so you know.
Yeah. So I'm being vulnerable with you all.
Yes.
So I have this emotion, this feeling where I have difficulty with the way people perceive me. Mm-hmm. Not in a way where like I don't give a fuck about your opinion, which I had a great conversation that I didn't share with you earlier, but I was talking on the phone to my friend and I was bringing up that dichotomy of like, I really don't care how people perceive me, but in the same respect, I do. And he mentioned, well, I'm surprised somebody with like so many tattoos and has this like rogue attitude about so many things could give a fuck about what somebody perceives of them. And I said, yeah, but that comes down to myself, my oneness, my skin is my individuality. But what's external outside of me, like my safety, feels separate from my entity. And he was like, that's so much a part of your person that you shouldn't separate the two. So I'm going to bring it all back together now. Context, y'all. So essentially, this seems so minor, but it's a big deal. I want to install a Ring doorbell.
It's not funny. It's real.
It sounds childish.
Say it.
I want to install a Ring doorbell camera in my outside of my apartment. And I am just struggling with asking my owner for permission. Like, hey, do you mind if I do this? And my ego is trying to protect me because I'm so afraid of the way he will perceive me, like that I'm trying to like fuck up his property, which I don't think is fucking up his property, but he's pretty meticulous. Like he's there all the time. He's watering the yard. He's up keeping the landscape. He's doing so much. And he's made mention before when I said, hey, I see my neighbor has a bar door on her front door. I'm trying to install one too. And he's like, well, it's going to affect the aesthetic of these doors right here. But if it'll make you feel safe, go for it. But that stuck in my mind so much.
That you're scared to really...
He really cares about the way the property looks, like, which I get it. I love that he cares, but it's also scary for me. I'm literally crippled, which is why I told you earlier I was having a moment.
Yeah.
Because I'm so scared. And I don't know why I'm so, I mean, I do know why I'm scared, because I'm afraid of the way my ego is afraid that he's going to say no. And then I'm going to be like,
He said no, right.
And then I'm going to have to deal with that, like, fuck, see?
Yeah.
And my friend was like, why do you, like, just put it up? It doesn't matter. And I was like, no, then what's the point to ask? And he was like, so don't ask. And I'm like, bro, no.
No, I think you should ask, but I don't think that you should be so hindered or scared from asking. This is something that you want. It's not a bizarre request. You know what I'm saying? It's a Ring doorbell. They're common. Ask. And if he says no, don't take it personal. Don't make it an ego thing like, oh my God, he told me no.
Right, right, right.
Oh my God, he perceives me as this. It's just because of however he feels, whatever he thinks it should be, and it's his property. That's why it's no. It has nothing to do with, zero to do with you, everything to do with him.
Yeah, and really nothing to do with him. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm asking this week. I'll report back.
If I
have my ring installed next week, you guys will know why. I'll be putting something up on Instagram. She's safe.
Ring installed.
Her safety has been upgraded.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just something personal.
Yeah. So let's talk about where our ego comes from.
Take it there.
But it's not minor because it really had an effect on you.
It has an effect on me all the time.
So the ego is a story.
It's because I'm a Cancer rising. Oh. Aren't I a Cancer?
Yeah, you are Cancer rising. The emotional, babe.
Emotional rollercoaster.
I need some emotion in mine. I'm a tough tender.
Tough tender puss.
I'm a Virgo, Leo, Capricorn.
Yeah, I'm a Virgo, Cancer, Capricorn.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You said Virgo, Cancer, Capricorn.
I mean Libra. It's because we are one. I'm a Libra, Cancer, Capricorn.
Yeah, we have the same moon.
That Capricorn. Cancer drives me up a wall. I'm like, look, bitch, stop being so emo.
And the Leo makes me be
aggressive.
Bold.
Bold. Oh, yeah. See, you're a bold bitch.
The BB. We are both. Now we done turned this into astrology. Both have an Aries Mars, which is why sometimes our energy is a little intense.
With each other or with people?
Everyone. Act up, get snatched up.
Period.
Okay, so where does the ego come from? So the ego is a storyteller, right? Mm-hmm. It comes from thousands of emotional events and experiences that you can't even consciously remember.
Yeah.
Shit that be going the fuck on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's this story that's created from all these experiences that serves to protect us.
Yes.
And keeps us tied to our past experiences.
Yeah. So
I'm like, we can't escape it.
No. And you know what? Every moment up until this very moment is adding to our ego. Right now, the conversation I just had with you, it either inflates me or makes me feel, I don't want to use good, bad, but it either
inflates your ego or helps you quiet the ego.
Right. And it's all just adding to my experience and my ego's experience. Every single moment, everything that we do, it's all just a compilement of experience.
That's why it's important to be aware.
It is.
Because if you're floating through, imagine
what the fuck going on. Yeah.
Imagine not being aware and all these moments are adding to your ego when you're just operating in that space.
And I'm imagine just letting different people and things pour into you.
Yeah.
And not having any perception or conceptualization of like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, that doesn't serve me.
Ooh.
Yeah, no.
I really had to wake up in 2019. I feel like I woke up. I feel like I've been asleep. I was asleep and then I had to wake up. Like, you know, the jolt up like, hey, everybody, I ain't gonna sleep because of y'all.
Yeah.
Type wake up.
Mm.
Shit.
The jolt.
So we can look at the ego like a giant ball of yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And each experience is its own string.
Mm-hmm.
And that all gets tied up to make one big giant ball, which is our ego.
Yeah, it has its own weight. Imagine that if we just pulled a bunch of pieces of string, like you just meet and having experiences like my day at work, my conversation with Brittany, my conversation with my landlord,
the way my fifth childhood grade teacher made me feel,
my childhood trauma, the way my mama slapped me in the face. I mean, whatever. I've never been slapped in the face.
The way I got cursed out at the grocery store.
Period.
Now I'm scared to, you know,
do anything. All of this stuff is wrapped up into one. And then we're trying to, it creates a mass, a ball of like force.
And it's hard to organize it
and pull one string off piece by piece to say, hey, this is what started that.
Right.
This contributes to the way you see yourself today, because the shit literally is just a big fucking ball.
But that's where our personal development comes in, when we begin to pick apart and pull apart and say, oh, this
when
is
we start
why,
working with our egos.
Yes, this is why that, and this is why this.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's funny because a lot of times people will be like, oh, they got a big ego, the cue the Beyonce.
Yeah.
If somebody's like, oh, he got a big ego, he's doing too much, then on the surface
he's
level,
he's cocky or she's a bitch.
Right. We're saying those type of things. That's very, very surface. But on a deeper level, on a more conscious level, I would suppose, we're basically saying there's some worldviews, there's some beliefs, there's some characteristics, some traits that this person isn't willing to let go of that kind of create
creates that
static issues, right? They're not willing to change or improve on them, because that's what your ego would say, is that I'm rooted in this. This is what I believe.
I am who I am.
I'm not open-minded. You know what I mean? It doesn't serve you well to have a big ego.
No.
No.
It doesn't.
Mm-mm. It doesn't.
You know, the holistic psychologist, love her Instagram page. Mm-hmm. She explained perfectly like the different ego stages.
Okay.
And I'm like, ooh, once I read this, I could easily identify like what stage I am in, what stage I aim to be in, how I've gone in and out of the stages. So let's just explain the stages to you all. So the first stage is the lack of ego awareness, the unconscious. Mm-hmm. So in this stage, you have no awareness of the ego. Your ego is very fragile and therefore overactive. It drives all of your behavior, just like Germany just explained. With someone who has a big ego, your mindset is usually rigid and fixed. Every time you get into a disagreement, it feels like a threat to yourself, your person. Mm-hmm. And your protection of your ego identity comes before personal autonomy. And you often have high levels of self-betrayal.
Explain what that might mean to someone, like self-betrayal.
Like when you operate from your ego, you're making decisions that aren't the best, that can be harmful for you. Some things that I won't even say you know, because again, this is the unconscious.
Yeah.
But some things that if you were more aware, mm-hmm. you would understand they're harmful to you. Like maybe getting into a relationship or that's not good for you.
Yeah.
But you're in it because of ego.
Makes you feel good.
It makes you feel good, or hanging out with certain people because of how they make you feel, how they make you look.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. I like that.
That's how the self-betrayal can look in the lack of ego awareness stage.
So in the ego awareness stage, this tunes into your inner world. You're able to observe ego stories, which are your thoughts, as separate from yourself. You notice when your ego is activated or if you're triggered, right? You're less attached to ego stories or your thoughts as truth. And you kind of go in and out of conscious awareness. So you understand when you're vibrating higher, and you also understand when you on some bullshit.
I think I can most identify with this stage.
Yeah.
I definitely have been prone to making some decisions out of using my ego from my ego state. Mm-hmm. And after I make them, it's like a quick turnaround where I'm like, bitch, no, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can be like, that's my ego. I did that because of my ego. I feel like this because of my ego.
Mm-hmm. Growth.
Instead of,
you know what they call that? Kellyanne. Growth.
Instead of, and you know, everybody is where they are, but instead of just being like, what? Like, what are you talking about? This is me. This is who I am. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm going to do me. And that's that on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I might have been in the lack of ego awareness, the unconscious stage before, but because of things that have happened and because of self-reflection and self-work, I have definitely transitioned into the ego awareness.
You transcend?
Yes, this year, the ego awareness stage.
Good.
But there's more stages, baby. Yeah. So the work ain't done. The other stage is the witness, the conscious. We say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Be the witness and not the subject.
Yeah.
Tying that back in. So in this stage, you have practiced self-observation and you're able to notice ego stories and triggers consistently. It's not a one-off. You be knowing what the fuck is going on.
Right. It's not every now and again, occasionally.
And you're able to respond rather than react. This is how I know I'm not there yet, because I'm still reactive.
Reactionary.
Yeah, I would pop off. I would be like, the fuck?
Right.
Like,
You got me fucked up. Yeah, we love to say who has us fucked up.
I'm still reactive. Mm-hmm. I'm reactive. Your ego still becomes activated, but it does not drive your choice, patterns, or behaviors.
Ego ain't driving the boat.
It's not.
It's not driving the boat. It's docked. Not. It's docked, baby.
It's like, okay, I feel this way. I feel some discomfort. I feel some, you know, unhappiness about this.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm not going to allow it to knock me off my square.
Yeah, that's good.
And this, baby.
That's good, Pastor Brittany. That's good.
This is a goal. 2020. Yeah. I'm the witness.
Yeah, come on. We're the witness.
I'm the witness, bitch.
Yeah.
I am not the subject. I'm just here. I'm just seeing.
Okay, so this is basically Buddhist monk vibes, okay? So ego integration. Your ego is fully strengthened in self-autonomy through acceptance of shadow self in all emotional states. This is sometimes referred to as ego death, right? You completely killed that bitch.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically killed it. It's
Gandhi.
Yeah. It's basically succumbed to its own weight. It doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. The awareness beyond thoughts that does not need to assign meaning to life experience. You basically have emotional mastery. Ugh. You're not attaching your value to form things.
Yeah.
Which is a biggie because we attach our value to form all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Day in and the day out.
Right. Which kind of segues into, it's like this whole healthy self-esteem versus the ego. Like, okay, but like I have a good ego. He has a big ego. You know, is there such thing? Is there a difference between having a healthy self-esteem or can't?
Like, can you differentiate between, they have a big ego?
I know, like,
or they're cocky, or they just have a healthy self-esteem.
Right, which self-esteem is like one of those words that we could use or not use. I think for where we are right now, it's relative. It's good.
So what does a healthy self-esteem even look like?
A healthy self-esteem.
Or like, what do we consider healthy self-esteem to look like?
A healthy self-esteem is basically being reasonably satisfied with the person that you are, the achievements that you've made, the things that you do, the knowledge that you know, the skill set, but in comparison to what someone else might have. If you compare the two, you come out on top or more favorable, right?
Right.
So if I'm comparing my
podcast, I have a healthy self-esteem about this podcast because I'm comparing it to a podcast that
with lesser than,
yeah,
whatever it is,
whatever,
reviews, right, subscribes, rating.
Yeah.
If you want to look at education, I feel better about myself because I have an advanced graduate degree compared to someone with a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates our healthy self-esteem.
Or what we think is healthy.
What we consider healthy self-esteem. But honestly, we're still putting our value into others knowing less, doing less, having less. All of that is just comparing ourselves to somebody else, right? And this is never satisfying in the long run, because what happens when
somebody
this podcast doesn't exist? What happens when somebody does more?
Yeah.
That. What happens when the thing that you do well doesn't...
When the thing that you place all your value in is no longer.
Right.
What is your... How does your self-esteem feel then?
Yeah.
That happens a lot with...
You're a great painter. Your hands break. You lose your hands. What happens then?
You feel like you're the baddest bitch. You got your nigga. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have your nigga anymore. And now all of a sudden you feel worthless. Or like your value has dropped.
You've lost your stock.
Because you've put your self-esteem into a thing or a person.
Right.
Oh, baby, no, we got to stop that. So the true healthy...
If we're using self-esteem.
Healthy self-esteem comes from recognizing what is formless about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not comparing yourself to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not using that to make you feel worthy. It's like, no. You understand that you have power, but it's not more than someone else.
Yes.
And they have power too.
Yeah.
We both have power. We're both doing the damn thing, whatever the damn thing looks like.
Period.
It doesn't matter how they feel about themselves. Like, it doesn't have to be like, you a bad bitch and I'm a bad bitch too. Hey, we're both bad bitches. You don't even have to think you're a bad bitch.
It could just be.
You're a bad bitch.
Right. Yeah. And then we stop looking at healthy self-esteem or not. We just kind of transcend and learn. That's where the ego no longer matters.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I'm here. I'm living life. I feel good. I am good. I do good in my heart. You know, I'm living in my purpose or whatever that is. But okay.
Yeah.
That's the vibe. My God, what a journey we're on.
It's, you know.
What?
The ego for a lot of us happens in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's where a lot of us battle with the bitch the most.
Okay, come on. Bring her up.
And when I saw this thing about like how our ego operates in love, she was shook.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She was shook because when you're loving, a lot of ego love is fear-based. I gave an example of how I operated out of fear, using my ego to go back and try to activate some shit. Because I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was fearful.
Talk about it.
About what could have happened and how it would have affected me. And the way that can look for some other people, maybe not in like a situation like I was, but just in general, like when you're in a relationship or seeking a relationship to be in, we believe that someone else can meet and should meet all of our needs, right? And
the form love.
Yeah, like we want to control them or we want to project all our traumas on them and we want them to like, you know,
heal us,
take care of us. That's what ego love looks like. So, that's scary. And you can kind of identify if you're in an ego-based relationship, if you feel drained sometimes or you feel like you can't share your truth mm-hmm. with them, mm-hmm. you feel like a little uncomfortable or kind of, I want to almost say like you feel kind of dependent, like some codependency mm. instead of like we're two existing. Individuals. There is some autonomy. I don't feel the need to control you. I just feel like comfortable, like I can be free. I feel safe here. I feel like, you know, I'm not trying to heal you. We're just both coexisting and we like sharing the space and time and experience together. Mm-hmm. That is the type of love that we should be aiming for and entertaining versus
and even friendships.
Love. And yeah, friendships.
Even if you want to, translate that over into friendships, I feel like the best friendships thrive when they're, pardon me, y'all, I'm losing my breath. Can you keep up? when you thrive in this space of like no ego, like, hey, I bring something good to the table. You bring something good to the table and we just exist.
Yeah, it's
I feel
not
like
a
that's
battle.
Where the, my best friendships, like relationships lie with the homegirls where I'm like, oh no, we just thugging.
Yeah.
Not like, bitch, I got to worry about if I said this to you. I mean, not that it's not good to be mindful.
Definitely be mindful, but it shouldn't stretched. Be work. Like, it's you know, stretched. The tough work where it's like, ooh, yeah. I'm feeling a little bit of a nasty
you're pushing
interaction
up against me.
Or something. Like, it's just a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a lot. But, you know, our relationships are usually a reflection of our current level of consciousness. So if
come
you start
on.
To notice, like, oh, my friendships are easy and flowing. My love relationships are easy and flowing. The associate relationships are easy and flowing. That can be a good indicator of your current level of consciousness and you know that you're on the right path versus your friendships are fucked up.
Friction.
It's drama. She said, he said, we're coupling up against these friends and the niggas is tripping and oh.
Yeah.
The ghetto.
A lot there.
The ghetto.
A lot there.
And there were some good examples.
Okay.
That baby girl holistic psychologist shared mm-hmm. that helped really put it into context. And she said, so ego love is I love you based on how you make me feel. And authentic love is I love who you are as a human being. Talk about growth, because I definitely be like,
he makes
I don't
me feel so good.
Yeah. Like, how do you make me feel? Do you make me feel like, you
special?
Know,
special?
I'm the baddest bitch in the world.
Come on.
Do you make me feel valued by planning dates and outings? Those are important,
but
that's
that
not how you
your,
should be basing.
And then that puts your value of what love feels like on another person.
Exactly. When you should
it
be feeling
form.
Love by yourself.
Exactly. You literally put it onto them and be like, now I need an external person to make me feel loved and good. So you have to do these things for me to feel this way.
And that's a part of the deconditioning that I've noticed in myself. I need to redefine
love.
What love is.
Yeah.
And just
love
be
is,
love.
Dot, dot, dot.
Just be love. Mm-hmm. Love is not a person, place, or thing. Like, well, everything is love.
Yeah.
Beyonce. Beyonce and Jay-Z. Everything is love. Mm-hmm. I have to do some, I'm doing some deconditioning. But another example she gave was ego love attempts to fix, control, or change. And authentic love honors flaws, self-expression, and freedom.
That's what I need to do. I'm worried on, I'm working on not trying to let a person try to change them. Like, okay, show up as you are, and I either honor the flaws that you have, the beautiful imperfections, and then, you
and
know.
Decide to go with them or not.
Or I'm done. Or
that
I'm done
should be
here.
The only decision that we make. Does this work for me or not? Because we get caught up on potential or we get caught up on the ego. Mm-hmm. I can change you. I can make you change.
I have the power.
I can do this. I can pussy pop.
Yeah.
I can pussy pop and then you gonna change. But no, that's not the way we should be operating. We should be accepting people as they are and deciding, hey, dude, are you the type of person I can deal with and want to build with or not?
Right. Which kind of segues into our ego work. It's important. Like, we talk so much about the ego, but then we also have to talk about the work. The work. And
the tough part.
You mentioned about being... our relationships being reflective of where we are and how if you're having all this toxic energy and like he said, she said, she said, which also brought to mind that whole judgment, right? When we're operating our ego, we have more confrontation, more judgment. We're riled up. We're worked up. We have all of this shit.
We got so much to say.
So much to say. But if we challenge some of our ways of thinking and beliefs, then essentially our egos would collapse and we'd evolve and be less judgmental. We'd have fewer boundaries between ourselves and others because, again, with the lack of ego, then we see oneness with all,
yeah.
Right? Our perspective is very much like we're all here together. There's no distinction between me, you. There's nothing from where I start and end to where you start and end. Right. We're just flowing. And thus, we perform better. We have a better outlook on life.
And we're calm, more calm. We're There's calm, less tension.
Period. Right?
Yeah. I definitely want to be like more calm. I know that I'm not like always riled up. I'm a generally calm person. But I do recognize when
you're like calm in a stealth way.
What does that mean?
I feel like you're calm, like in a way where
I'm not easily shaken.
Hold on now. I'm putting words in my mouth.
I'm just trying to figure out.
I'm not easily shaken.
No way.
No, like in a way where like calm, but like I'm processing it and don't think you're going to get over on me. I feel like it's calm with a little like wall up. There's guard there. Like I'm calm because I'm assessing and I'm making like mental notes and assessments of everything
how
that's going on.
To determine how
yeah, it's
move.
Not calm, like relaxed. Not no, that no, you aren't no, relaxed.
No. Yeah.
But I feel like you're very much so like, I'm calm, but I'm on guard. Bitch, I'm not. I'm definitely steadfast.
Dead.
She's steadfast, feet planted on the ground, and she knows what the fuck is going on. Which doesn't mean that you aren't calm.
No.
But I think it's very intentional calmness.
Oh, of course.
Come on.
I gotta be. It is intentional because I don't want to be like, you know, popping up or being popping off or being reactive. That's a part of me not being reactive.
Okay.
Because I know that I can be reactive. So I try to be calm.
Come on.
So once we're challenging our ways of thinking and being less judgmental and having fewer boundaries between ourselves and the rest of the world, we have the opportunity for more success and personal development.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're understanding our ego. We yeah. know what's going on. This conversation that we've been having, the conversations that we have amongst ourselves, and of course, the research that we do on our own time is helping us.
Yeah.
We understand this, motherfucker.
Yeah. It's all about personal power, y'all.
Period.
We're working on muting the ego, quieting that thing, having more control over ourselves and our emotions, because things can't shake us.
When
we have the unshaken, the shaken not stirred. Okay, once we have a grasp over this ego, baby, it's not too many things that's going to rattle me up and I'm going to respond because I'm going to know what the fuck going on.
You know the thing that really made me be like, what the fuck? When?
What the fuck, though? Where did love go?
When I read that, when we are like one with the world and everything is a part of us instead of separate,
mm-hmm.
we no longer look at things as being good or bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Who said that? What do you mean there's no good or bad? There's for sure good or bad because and that's one way where I feel like not as in control or not as calm because I feel like something could easily make me feel good and something could easily make me feel bad.
Right.
Just like you said, with my energy dropped, that was an example, with my dress was fucked up or whatever else was going on. That was a clear example of me being affected.
Right.
Bad. I labeled it as bad.
Right.
And shifted my energy because of that.
Yeah.
So,
pardon me.
You
Ooh,
really
wow.
have to like tap into your mind.
Yeah, and learn to just be
That's
a part of the
I
system
meditate.
Of life. When you're a part of the system of life, you learn that there's nothing that has to be corrected. We just all are. When we were in Tulum, we were watching a series on Netflix, How the Mind Works, and one of the episodes in the series was meditation, and they were talking about how intensely these Buddhist monks and these people are meditating, where they get into such a state. Essentially is this, where there's no ego. They we're talking about some old Buddhist or someone who caught on fire and just stood there and was
basically unbothered.
Unbothered. And it's because he understands that this situation is not good nor bad. I'm oneness with everything that's happening and there is nothing else to like, I'm just a part of the system. That's it. Now when I can get there and be burned and a bitch not yell, huh?
Oh, we ain't taking it that extreme.
I mean,
just
want to
not
there.
Be burned by these situations and circumstances.
By these niggas.
I'll take that.
You I'll take burn. That burn on a chin.
Yeah, I'll take that burn on the chin. You want to burn me? Okay, I'll be here. And from the rises, I will ash.
The phoenix.
From the ashes, I will rise.
The phoenix. Yeah.
But you know, most people don't reach that state.
No,
it's
no,
tough.
No. That state of enlightenment. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard out here.
It's hard to reach that state, but no matter what happens, you're going to be forced to adjust your ego.
Yeah.
And there will just be more resistance.
Uh-huh.
And your ego will have to change and adapt to the pressure.
Yeah.
To what the fuck is going on. Things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Breakups.
Yeah.
Hate those.
Yeah. Speaking
hate
of which.
Hate it.
Hated it. I hate it here. The traumatic scars on my heart.
You feel like a breakup was a traumatic breakup or like traumatic scars on your heart?
I'm just saying
ego?
Like, you know, whatever your traumatic issue might be that causes your ego to fold or has to, you know, take a backseat. I know that there was a time when I was broken up with.
Ooh.
And yeah, she's ooh, never been broken up with.
Ooh, ooh, well, now you
ooh,
have.
The E40. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, I had never been broken up with. And when I got that, those words, I was like, hmm. But I quickly realized, oh, I didn't quickly realize.
I was going to say, now how quick, baby?
No, it wasn't.
How quick, my darling? How quickly did you realize?
Not quickly, but it wasn't like a long term where I was just like sulking. I was
but
like.
But even when you realize, that does not negate the fact that your ego was bruised.
Oh, baby, it was. My
you
ego.
Know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, it was, which is why there's this idea like you might not immediately accept like I'm in flow. There's no good or there's no bad, but your ego will be pressed up against and you'll have to be like, sorry, bitch, sit down. The humbling, like, oh, this is why we're here.
I've had to sit myself down.
I've been sat down, and that when I was broken up with, I was like, oh, this hurt my ego because I had built up this illusion of myself that you are a bad bitch. No, nigga.
Well, want to break up with you.
Who does that?
Creme de la creme.
Who? Right there floating at the top.
What would give you the audacity to break up with me?
What would make you think that you have the power to break up with me and let go of the best thing that you ever had?
I think that happened to me too when I was internet stalking and saw a baby girl and I'm like, oh. Now this bitch doesn't compare. Ego.
Ego.
I'm acknowledging that this is an ego thought.
Yeah, come on y'all, work with us.
This bitch don't compare.
Yeah, you don't compare when you don't compete.
So.
Or is it you don't compete when you don't compare? That's it.
Yeah, but so compete, I was like, compare. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but through our process of living, the ebbs and the flows, the ups and the downs, our ego evolves and expands, right? We go from these demanding, pesky little children, how children are. And
yeah,
very,
children are very egocentric.
They don't see much outside
hi,
of themselves.
Mommy, I this. I
mommy,
want cracker.
Look, look.
Mommy, I want to go to McDonald's. Mommy, hi. You'll be in the middle of a conversation and they'll be like, mommy.
It's very
mommy.
me. But then we grow because you know what? So many situations will happen where mom says what? No, it's not about you right now.
Quiet yourself. Quiet. The world doesn't revolve around you.
Period. You go to school, you recognize, oh, this behavior isn't tolerated.
Yeah.
We all have to raise our hands when we speak. It's not just about me. There's situations in life because our experiences are built by our ego is built by our experiences where we kind of grow. We learn more responsibility. We learn some sort of more of awareness, self-awareness, some sort of independence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We kind of go through where our ego, no matter which state that it gets to, has to evolve past that original baby ass state.
Yeah.
Right? And then we become more open-minded and we experience life. And also the more we grow, we realize like good and bad is relative. What's good to me in my life is might not be good to someone else in their life. It might be shit hell, shithole. Who knows? Right?
Not the shithole.
I mean, I'm just saying.
So essentially, there's two ways to go through life.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through it this way where everything is judged according to a metric, a standard, a value, and you have a target in your mind. And whatever you scan your eyes with either meets the standard target, good or bad.
Yeah, like a Terminator.
Yeah. It's like you're going through things, you're scanning it with your mind. This is good.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Yeah.
This is good. This is bad.
And it's all based, like you said, on the standard. So you see somebody with good hair, you're measuring that up to what you consider good hair. You decide if it's good or bad. Her hair's cute because, hey, this is what cute hair looks like.
To me.
She's driving a nice car, but this is because that's what good car looks like. Somebody's being sustainable and eco-friendly. Oh, because that's what this looks like to me.
Yeah.
Right? It's constantly a measuring game.
Or on the flip side.
Come on, talk about it. Flip.
You can just flip. You flip. Can just be in life and be in the moment and nothing is bad. Nothing is good. It just is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how your hair is. It doesn't matter what kind of car you're driving. It's not good or bad. It just is. Oh, that's what you pushing? Okay.
Period.
That's how you're doing your hair? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're rocking? Okay.
But don't get it fucked up. You can still compliment me.
Of course.
I'm just saying.
Nothing goes without complimenting. But
do
it's just,
nothing without a compliment.
It's just not, you know, everything's not according to this standard or this metric or this value system where we are so judgmental.
Yeah.
Against others and ourselves.
Yes.
Which is really that ego vibe.
But it's because most of us. Like, we're kind of someplace in the middle, right? We're not all the way to the point where it just is. And we're not all the way at the point where it's like, I'm not scanning, you know, we're doing both. We're some sort of way in, we're in the middle at some point. And some of us are closer, most of us are closer to that scanning mindset where we're comparing, yeah, we're judging.
I'm definitely more closer to the scanning mindset. I rarely ever just be like, it just is.
No, because.
And that's, I recognize that there's room for me to grow there.
And it's even on a scale, something so minor, like, oh, I was at work and my manager said this to me. That was rude.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, oh,
my coworkers,
wow,
workers did this or that.
It's that vibe, right? Yeah. But it's because we go through life putting value and purpose on everything.
Yeah, things that happen to us.
Yeah.
That were good or favorable to us. We love, we're happy, we're excited about.
Promotion.
The podcast.
The niggas acting weight,
the
right.
The niggas are, wow, I got my ass is getting fatter. You know, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
Whereas when things happen to us that are unfavorable or bad, we're dragged. We're depressed. Oh, this has been a horrible year for me.
Yeah.
I've been going through it. I got to get out of this rut.
Yeah.
And that's when I really need to implement the it just is.
It just
that's
is.
When I will benefit from saying, it's not good or bad. It just is.
Yeah.
And I know that's radical, but sometimes I need that. Because like I said, I can be very, oh my God, things can be very conditional with me. I can be very like, oh my God, you know, we're blessed.
Yeah.
God is good. And then I can be very, the devil's busy.
The devil is busy. But it's because we chase the good and we try to avoid the bad in everything we do with life. You know, it's like we're chasing after the good feelings. We want the happy. We want the yes. We want the accolades, the praise. And then we don't want the bad at any cost. I'm trying to avoid it.
Yeah.
But as our ego dissolves and we move past that space, then we move more towards a oneness perspective, right? Where we can disidentify the part of us that feels disconnected from other people.
Mm-hmm.
We move away from judgment.
Mm.
We're more calm, like you
said.
The
real calm.
Right. We're more calm. And ultimately, what do? We raise our vibration.
Bringing it back around.
We're raising it.
And when your vibration is raised, you can begin to manifest more of what you want.
More of what you are.
More of what you are. There you go. There you go. That's why this is important. This ego work is important.
Yeah, because then you become more like your natural you, right? You. That's also the original you.
The natural you, the reverence for all kind, the service to others.
Yeah, that whole thing. Go back there.
The oneness.
The oneness with the life around you.
So here's some steps that will help you do your ego work.
Come on.
Help you begin to tackle this bitch. Get her in a seatbelt. We understand that she's in the car and, you know, we want to quiet her, get her restrained. So here's some steps.
Come on.
First step, you got to observe your ego.
Mm-hmm.
Look at her. Staring contest.
Dead in the eye.
Seeing your ego is the first step to taking away her power.
Yes.
And decision-making control. That's important. I don't want you making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making the decisions, not you, ego.
I don't
want you to make decisions for me. So you have to observe your ego. And one of the ways that the holistic psychologist said that you can practice this is by kind of like doing a meditation in the morning. And it's very uncomfortable, which makes it hard. But you set aside time to meditate in the morning and say affirmations like, I am making a conscious decision to observe how my ego shows up today.
Yeah.
Then you do it.
And then you do it. So step two, like you just mentioned, that was it. Set an intention to witness your ego with one conversation you have. So notice your ego speak and become aware of anything you say after the word I.
Deep.
Right? Anything. So that could look like, how often do I speak about myself?
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, I am so whatever it is.
I am dragged. I am so
broke.
I am broke.
I do not have the body that I want. I'm looking ugly today.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know? What was an adjective I used to describe myself? Poor, broke, depressed, ugly.
Worthless.
Worthless, lonely.
Mm.
You know, what does that look like?
Yeah. And also, did anything in that conversation bring up any uncomfortable emotional reaction?
Mm.
Describe it. How did you feel from that conversation that you observed, the ego speak that you observed?
That you had with yourself.
The third step, name your ego.
Come on.
We're calling a spade a spade. I'm calling my ego Tiffany.
Mine is Shell. Michelle.
Michelle.
And when she really acting up, her name is Michelle.
the reason why this is important is because when we name our ego, we take a powerful step in seeing the ego as separate from us. Oh, that ain't Brittany. That was Tiffany. Tiffany reached out and said that dumb shit. That was not me. That was Tiffany. And I'm holding Tiffany accountable, but I'm recognizing that that was an ego move.
And also that Brittany allowed her to do it. Brittany, so what is Brittany doing?
Right.
Ooh, yeah.
So Tiffany, you choose, face a, off. Choose a name that comes to you intuitively. When we were discussing this, Tiffany just came to me and I roll with it. So my ego's name is Tiffany. Once, now moving forward, when I be like, let me tell you what the fuck Tiffany did.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, now, Tiffany, reel her back in. You're going to be reeling in Michelle.
I'm going to be talking to Tiffany like, Tiffany, I don't know who you think you are right now. Hey, Tiff. Hey, Tiff.
I'm like, ego, that's
don't live here.
Every time you say something, I'd be like, that's Michelle.
Uh-huh.
That's Michelle.
I'm going to be like, stop calling her name.
And there's step four, step four, five, and six. You got to join us over on Patreon to wrap up this ego work. We will be sharing the rest of these steps over on Patreon. So join us over there, mamitas, if you want to do this work.
And that's that on that.
And that's on period.
And that's on period.
So, man.
We shared a lot.
We shared a lot. We definitely have some homework to do. It is never ending. We have some work to do on ourselves. Hopefully you all found this information valuable. Maybe a light bulb went off. Mm-hmm. Maybe as we were sharing examples of how our ego has made some decisions, choices, and controlled behavior for us, you were like, oh shit, I remember when mine did too.
Yeah. And feel free to share.
Feel free to share.
If you want to slide in the DMs.
Maybe you have some tools that you can share as well. Maybe you've been there, done that, and you decide
now
to become one.
Now you're a Buddhist monk.
You decide to become one. Help us out. I'm always willing to take on some advice and suggestions because
share it in a general way. Please don't y'all start sliding in my DMs telling me what the fuck I got to do.
Dead.
Personal, on the personal level.
Yeah, right. You know. You know how we do in the Facebook group.
Yeah, get in the Facebook group. So now it's time to pick up your pen. We're dropping a gem.
So the gem this week is a natural deodorant from Black Vanity.
Yeah.
This deodorant, baby, let me tell you something. This deodorant is phenomenal. This is the best natural deodorant I've ever used. I've used a handful ever since I transitioned. It's been over a year now since I transitioned to natural deodorant. But this one, it's so good. It's Black owned, woman owned, first and foremost. Hey, Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina.
It's unisex. It smells amazing. Like, you know how sometimes the natural deodorant, you got to keep it in your purse and reapply throughout the day because, yeah, not with this one. This one is really good. It's called Herbal Pits. It's 100% natural deodorant, draws out toxins, combats odor, erases dark spots, and nourishes the skin. It has coconut oil, mango butter, cocoa butter, arrowroot powder, essential oil blend. I have the stick version because she has a spray version as well, but I like the stick version. People have bought it based on my recommendation on Twitter. They're loving it. My mom has it. She loves it. Get you a couple bars of this deodorant and get your pits together.
Smells amazing.
It smells so good. And you know what I love about it? I love something when you move and you can smell it throughout the day.
Yeah.
Let me know I'm so fresh.
Perfect.
So we'll put this information down in the show notes, but you can find it at www.blackvanity.org and let Sabrina know we sent you, okay?
And that's that on that.
So, yeah, next week we'll be wrapping up our series.
Yeah, that's it. Make sure you
Getting
join us.
Getting clear for the new year. Make sure you tune back in for our final episode of this series. And, yeah, we'll chat with you all next week.
Love you.
Merry Christmas.
Bye. Pretty colored girl. 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 Pretty colored girl.